6 lines from the bottom of Daf Kuf Samach Vavim Beis, and let us remember that there are 192 putois in a dinar. A dinar is also called a zuz. There are 4 zuzim or 4 dinarim in a seller. For our purposes, we always think about a puta as a penny, a dinar or a zuz as a quarter, and a seller as a dollar. And the Gemara now begins, Ahu Davakasa Beishis Meiv Zuza. There was a shtar that was written in it that Reuven lent to Shimon 600 and a zuz, and it didn't state what type of coin the 600 coins were. Therefore, Shulcha Rav Shavya Kameid Abaya, Rav Shavya sent the following Shail to Abaya, Shismeya Istri Vizuza, Oidilma Shismeya Priti Vizuza, that when it said 600 and Azuz, does the Shtar mean 600 seller and Azuz, which is like $600 and a quarter? Or would we say that the Shtar means that Reuven lent to Shimon 600 putais and Azuz, or 600 pennies and a quarter? And some agurus that there was a third side to the Shaila, and the third side was Reuven lent to Shimon 600 zuz plus 1 more zuz, or 601 zuz. The Gemara tells us on Malay that Abaye responded to Rav Shavya, Dal priti d'le kasvi b'shtara, that certainly it can't be that Reuven actually lent Shimon 600 putais and a zuz. It certainly is not the derek to say that I lent someone 600 putais. Certainly you would total the putais and you would turn it into dinarin, and since 600 putais equals 3 dinar plus 24 putais, so the cipher would have written that Reuven lent Shimon a total of 4 dinar and 24 putais, or the cipher could have written that Reuven lent to Shimon 1 seller and 24 putais, and as the Gemara states, that suchim meschelhu umashvilu zuzi, that certainly he would have totaled the amount of the putais, and he would have exchanged them into zuzim, and he would have written that Reuven lent to Shimon 4 zuz, or 4 dinar and 24 putais. Ayin rashbam, that suchim meschelhu soimchen o'isam b'dinarin b'machon kuf tzadik beis putais kais fin dinar, and ayin entices diba maschla tzuchim meschei loshim minin, this is a loshim of counting or making a sum total imoy sach mikri dardki that we saw on daf chaf al from an aleph. We continue on daf kuf zamach zayin from an aleph, and Abaye states to Rav Shavya that my amrit, what are the other possibilities as to what the shtar means, either shis meya istri v'zuza or shis meya zuza v'chad zuza, either 600 sloyim and a zuz, or 600 zuz plus 1 more zuz yad bala shtar tachtayna, then we say amitzim mechavei of raya, and therefore all that Reuven could collect from Shimon is 600 zuz plus 1 zuz. And Ayin entices the lechira, just like we stated in the Gei Putais, that a person will total up the amount of putais and wouldn't write putais and instead would write dinrin. So lechira, which is state the same, that a soifer would not write zuzin and instead would write dinrin, and instead of writing that Reuven lent to Shimon 600 zuz plus 1 zuz, he would have written that Reuven lent to Shimon 150 dinar plus 1 zuz. And Ayin entices, who states Tema zuzi nami meshvei istri maschiluhu beistri, as he would total the zuzim and he would total the dinrin into istri imkain less than lamema mahitaima shismei zuzi el shismei istri shekdeilim yesa, and therefore lechira, by the fact that the shtar states that it was 600 plus 1 zuz, it must be that Reuven lent to Shimon 600 dinrin plus 1 zuz. And Taisus answers that although benegei putais is certainly not the derech for a sefer to write an amount of putais that are more than zuzim, he certainly would total putais into zuzim. However, b'negei zuzim, that's not necessarily a derech. And as Taisa states, v'yesh loyma de zuzu regil nichta b'shtaris, afal pish yesh matbeya gadol meno, kedash kachas b'zuzi tzuri, ayin sham. Gemara now continues with another member of Abaya. And before we begin this member, let us point out the metzias, as the Rashbam explains, there were times that Bezdin needed someone to actually sign a name on a paper in order that they could actually verify that this is his signature. And of course, the question is, why would this ever occur if the person himself could just go and say that this is my actual signature? And Rashbam explains that this would occur in a situation where Reuven and Shimon signed on a document and Reuven is still around, but Shimon went to Medina Siyam, and Reuven certainly could verify his own signature, but in order to verify Shimon's signature, we would need to find two Edim that actually know that this is Shimon's signature. And if we would only be able to find one aid and the only other person that knows that this is Shimon's signature is Reuven, that would cause an issue, as Lamaisa, if Reuven is the one that is actually verifying his own signature, therefore through Reuven's testimony he's verifying 50% of the shtar. He's also one of the two Edim that are verifying Shimon's signature, so he's verifying another 25% of the shtar, and it'll come out that Reuven is actually verifying 75% of the shtar. In order to be Moitzi Mamon, one aid can't be the one who is verifying more than 50% of the shtar. In that case, Rabbanan had an Eitzah that Reuven will sign his signature onto a blank piece of paper, and Bezdin will be the ones that will actually compare his signature to the signature that was was already written and signed onto the shtar, and therefore Reuven is not the one that verified his own signature, and then Reuven can go and verify Shimon's signature together with another aide. In this way, they come in Mekayim the shtar. Therefore, our Gemara states that Amar Abaye, Abaye explained, Hay man de boyu lemechvich simis yadu beidina, that if Reuven had to sign his signature onto a piece of paper in order to send it to Bezin, that Bezin could verify his signature through this document and not through Reuven's testimony, then loy lechve b'seif megilta, that he shouldn't sign his name at the end of a piece of paper, because of the Masa Bezuze, as maybe someone else will find this piece of paper and they won't be so honest, they will add in to the top of the document that I, Reuven, that signed below, owe Pliny $1,000, and then Reuven's signature is below that statement, then Pliny will be able to defraud Reuven and collect $1,000 for Reuven. How do we know that this type of shtar, which is similar to an IOU, will be valid as Vitan, and as we will see in the Mishnah of Kuf Ayin Heim Abayz, that that if Pliny brings out a document and it has a ksav yad of Reuven and it states that Reuven is chayiv to Pliny $1,000, then although since there are no two edim that signed on this document, it's not considered a milu b'shtar and there is no curl and therefore you can't be goyva min chosim b'shubadim. However, certainly this is a valid shtar and you can still be goyva from min chosim b'necharin and Pliny will be able to be goyva $1,000 from Reuven. Gemara continues with the story. There was a toll collector that came in front of Abaya and Amalei, and he said to Abaya, "Nechsi limach simas yadei, that I want you to show me how you sign your name." The chiyosu rabbanon, when the rabbanon want to cross the river and they're going through this toll, machbuli will show me a document that you want me to forego the toll. You want me to be meichel the toll for them since they're talmidei chachamim and mavanu blei mechsa, and I will let them go through without paying the toll. And achbuli bereish megilta. So based on Abaya's memory, they stated before, Abaya started signing his name at the top of the piece of parchment and at the top of the document in order to make sure that this toll collector will not be able to defraud Abaya, have a kanogabe, but meanwhile the toll collector kept pulling out the parchment in order to make sure that Abaya would not sign at the top of the document and instead would sign closer to the bottom of the document, and this way he could actually defraud Abaya, writing on top of Abaya's signature that Abaya owes him $1,000. Upon seeing this, Amalei, Abaya said to him, "Kakabucha Rabbanon, the Rabbanon already came before you, and they already taught us when signing our name on a blank piece of paper, we should make sure that we sign it closer to the top and not closer to the bottom in order that we should not be defrauded." It's a bit tzarech bir, the Lashon of Abaya, Kvakat Mucha Rabbanon, as the Chayyur, this was the memory of Abaya, and he didn't say it over B'Shem Amrei, B'tzarech bir. And the Gemara continues with another member of Abaya regarding Shtaris, with an Eitzah to make sure that someone is not defrauded. Abaya tells us, Mitlasvad Esa, Loi Lichtoi B'Seif Shito, Dum M'Zayi V'Kosav, that if someone's writing in a shtar from the number 3 until the number 10, then you should make sure not to write it at the end of the line, because potentially someone could add in a yud and nun, and instead of saying klas, it would say tlasin, which is 30, and instead of saying abba, it would now be aboyin, which is 40, etc. And by eser, instead of being 10, it would be esrin, and it would be 20. Ayin in taisis di v'maschol y'lichta b'seif shita pirish y'kosav lashon akeva, as if he's writing this b'lashon akeva, the kosav klas, v'loy kosav tlasa, as if he's writing b'lashon zacha, then he would write klasa, and this chashash would not be an issue. The pashas, it would seem that since all you have to add in is a yud and nun, and they're very small letters, so then a person would be able to add that in at the end of the line, and it won't be noticeable. However, ayin rashpam diva maschel oma abaya, where he states, aval achad asa in yachal zufrei, but once you get to number 11, you won't be able to defraud someone, tzarech l'michtav echad v'esrim, as at that point you have to write echad v'esrim. This will not be shayech, as it will be noticeable, v'chikasa bein achad asa vav, since it originally stated achad asa, and you have to add a vav before the word asa, then niradacha kuminka, and since this vav will be very tight between these words, therefore it will be very noticeable, and won't be possible to defraud someone. So we see that it's not because at the end of the word we have a yud and nun, as the Rashbam also states that this potentially would be possible even by achad asa, and you would be able to place the yud and mem at the end of the line. Our Gemara continues that Abaya states v'yisramilei, but lemaisa, if it actually occurs that you had no choice and you had to write one of these numbers at the end of the line, Nahadri Lidbure, trained with Tlasa Zimni, then you should repeat the amount of money that Reuven is lending Shimon two or three more times, Efshid Loi Misramile Be'emse Shita, and then at one of those times, certainly you'll come out in the middle of the line, and there will no longer be a potential for fraud, as a person won't be able to write a Yud and Nun in the middle of a line, as that certainly will be noticeable, even though the first couple of times in the Shtar, word Tlas will be at the end of the line, and there's a potential that the Malva could write in a Yud and Nud and write Tlasin, since the last time that he writes the amount, he actually writes Tlas, and it's written in the middle of the line. We will follow what it states the last time in the Shtar, as Rashbam points out, and as we learned to the Mishnah, that Ein Lemeidim Elamin HaTachton K'diktani Masisin. And where it continues with another story that occurred with Abaya, Ahuda Avakasa Beit Tilsip Hadisa, was a deed where it was written that Reuven sold to Shimon a third of his orchard. Not only did Reuven have an orchard, but he had a larger garden that surrounded the entire Pardes. Shimon wasn't that honest, and Azul Machke Legage de Beis Vikare Vishavu Pardisa. Shimon went and he raised part of the Beis, and he took off part of the top of the Beis and part of the bottom of the Beis. This way, the Beis looked like a Vav. Instead of the deed now stating Tilsa Bipardisa, the deed actually stated Tilsa Upardisa, and Shimon claimed that Reuven sold him a third of the entire garden as well as the full Pardes. Also, Kameda Abaya, so they came in front of Abaya, Amalei, and Abaya said to them, "My time of Ravokhe Amal Hai Vav, why is it that this Vav has so much space around it? As Lemaisa originally it was written as a Beis, certainly a Vav is much narrower than a Beis, and Kafte Ve'oidei, and Abaya forced him to be Moida." Generally, the word Kafte means that they tied him up onto a pole, showing him have a Shaila as to what Bezdin was able to do to him in order to force this admission. And the Ayin Emiru states, "The Choshenir of the Yonim Kiyotze B'zeh, Rishayim Lungoy says, Achosha Beinayim, Kifi Mashiyir Tzalahim Ben Yonai, Vizel Shinam B'chol Eilu, Kafte Va'oidei, that Ein Echinami, they beat him up in order that he should be Moida." However, the Meiri continues, "V'yesh Emrim, Shloi Hutlam Kach B'shem Ponim, V'lein Nomir Kafte El Derech Iyam," and when it says that they tied him to this post, they didn't actually beat him up, they only did this in order to frighten him, Kamisha Mara Atzmei Bori Al Adova, V'koyfte La Omid La Koysai, V'loi Shiel Ku'u, and not that they actually hit him. Gemara continues with another story where there was a potential for fraud, as Ahud Abakasa Bey Minas Reuven Vishimon Ache, that there was a deed that stated that Reuven and Shimon, who were brothers, sold their portion of their father's estate to Pliny, Havalu Acha the Shmei Ache, and Lemaisa they had another brother, and their brother's name was Ache. And so Azal Kasabe Vav Vishavya Vache, and Pliny went and he stuck in an extra Vav right before the words Ache, now claimed that not only did Reuven and Shimon sell their portions to him, but Ache also sold his portion to him as well. Once again, Asal Kameda Abaya, so they came to Abaya, Amalei, and Abaya stated, "My time, Dochlik Almal Hai Vav," that Lemaisa, since he had to stick in the Vav, the airspace between the word Shimon and Ache, so therefore the Vav was very tight. Abaya asked Pliny, "Why is it that the Vav is written so tight?" And Kafte Va'idei, and once again, Abaya tied him to a post. Eventually, Pliny was Moida, they tried to defraud Ache. Gemara continues with another story, Ahu Sharad, Havu Chosel Mela Rav Rav Achaba Ada. There was a star where the signatories on the star was Rav and Rav Achaba Ada, also Kamed Rav, and the mice of the star came in front of Rav, or Malay, and Rav stated, "Dein Chasimus Yadad Viu," that certainly this signature looks exactly like my signature, and I can't even tell that this is actually a forgery. Well, the mice, I do know that this is not my signature, as Miu Kamed Rav Achaba Ada, Le Chasimu Lima Ilam, as I know that I never signed any document together with Rav Achaba Ada, and Kafti Va'idei, they tied up this Malva, and Lemaisa eventually he was Moida, that he actually forged both Rava and Rav Achaba Ada's signature. And Amalei, so Rava said to Pliny, "Bishlemi didi zeyafta," that it makes sense that you were able to forge my signature, and you were a professional forger. El Rav Achaba Ada, the Rasis Yodei Hechi Adis, but Lemaisa Rav Achaba Ada is much older than me, and his hands already shake, and how is it that you were able to forge his signature and make it look so convincingly like Rav Achaba Ada's signature? Ein Rashbam, the Rasis Yodei, Yodei Vreisais, Vaisais Chasimase Perchais. Gemara tells us two possibilities. Omar, that Pliny states, Anchi Yodei Amitra, while signing Rav Adaba Acha's name, I made sure to hold on to rope bridge, as Rashbam explains, Amitra, Al Chavel Hanotu, Misfas Hanos, Vaseh Shnia, that there was a rope that would be hung and tied from one side of the river to another side, Vaivim Geshe Kotza, Nishanim by Vaivim, and those that were walking along a plank that was stretched from one side of the river to another, they would hold on to this rope in order that they shouldn't fall. And of course, it was shaking at all times. And this way, I was able to mimic Rav Achaba Ada's signature. And the Gemara continues, Va'amrilon, some explain, Karma Zanuka Vikosav, that this forger stated that I was able to mimic Rav Achaba Ada's signature by standing on a water bottle, which would shake around. And this way, my whole body was shaking while I was signing his name. Ayin Rashbam, Karma Zanuka, Olola Vikosam, V'chol Gufoy Novinod, V'yoid of Reisais. Before we continue, let's point out the following, that number one, when the Gemara originally stated, Omar Baya, Hay Mada Boy Lemechvi Chsimus Yadir Bebei Dino, Lelechvi Besef Megilto Dum Mishkach Lacha, V'ksiv Demasik Bezuzei, we have a similar Gemara in Mesechtes Ksubis on Daf Chaf Aleph, and Lemaisa, the Gemara states over there that when a person wants to show his signature, he should write it on a chaspa. The piece of earthenware cannot be used as a shtar, and therefore it seems that you shouldn't even write your name at the top of a Megillah and at the top of a piece of parchment, and the only time that you should sign your name is when signing it on a piece of chaspa. Ayin and Tesis in Ksubis on Daf Chaf Aleph Mabez, who explains that in a Chanami, there are two different etzes, either write it at the top of a document and on a piece of parchment, or you could write it on a chaspa ba'alma. Rabbi Ayin Rabban, who states, L'chadchila, you should only write your signature and sign your name on a piece of cheres. However, b'di'eved, you could write it at the top of a piece of parchment as well. Ayin other mefarshim, who discussed this point as well. Number two, Abaya stated, Mitlasvad esalei lichto b'seif shita, dilma mezayif v'kasev, and Ayin Rabbeinu Gershom, who points out, u'mishumachi nokam mitlasa, and the reason why Abaya starts from three, and he doesn't speak about anything prior to three, is the kodim tlasa, as prior to someone writing three, like kasev b'shtar cheshbin, then they wouldn't write that in the shtar, el love a seller, kaisa plain love a seller, and if a person borrows one seller, they wouldn't write a number, and they just wrote that Reuven lent Shimon a seller, v'chein l'shnayim, kaisiv sloyim, and for two sloyim, then they would write that Reuven lent to Shimon sloyim, v'lo shnayim, and they wouldn't write the word two, umid sloyim, shnayim, v'kashlecha, hecha d'kasiv seller, b'sev shita, and if you will ask, the lemaisa, Abayas would still have a problem, as if they would write the word seller at the end of the word, yachalutav sloyim, it would seem that Reuven lent two seller to Shimon, and not only one. Zokra Beinu Geshem, Holoi Kasha, the Kivin is Sloyin Stam, Loi Havi Elishnaim. Since the word Sloyin means two seller, Mishuma Hupurta, Loi Mizayev, certainly a person won't go through the trouble of being a liar and defrauding someone for such a small amount of money. El Mitlasla El, the Ziyev Godel, Hu Mizayev, but from three and onwards, where the Ziyev is a much larger amount, certainly at that point, we have to be Cheshish for fraud. Let's begin the new Mishnah, as the Mishnah states, Kaisvin Gel Ish, Apple Pisha Inishtri Imai, that if Reuven goes to a Seifer, hires the Sefer to write a get as he wants to divorce his wife Rachel, then the Sefer could do so, and the Edom could even sign on this get. Then at a later point, Reuven could deliver the get to his wife Rachel, even though this is a detriment to Rachel, so l'chair, we shouldn't allow Reuven to do so. However, Zakhtar Hashpam, d'aloi b'inan daita, sh'rehi miskereshes bal kocha, as l'maisa, she could be divorced bal kocha, therefore you can even have a get prepared without her das, and not before her. Ayin and Taisis, diba maschal, afal pisha'in ishti imoi, and Taisis is Vim Taima, Velecha Shema Kasa Litim Menisim, Le Nosan Atishrei, Vitarfa Shalakudim Melkucha, Shalakwa Paris Menabal Atishrei. Taisis is bothered, how could the Sefer write a get for the husband? Potentially he won't give it right away. Since the date of the get is written in Nisan, and he didn't give the get until Tishrei, Maisa Rachel could go to those people that went and bought any Paris from the husband that Reuven really had a right to until Tishrei when he gave her the get. Well, the Maisa, since the date of the get is in Nisan, so she will go to Lekuchais and say they had no right to buy these pears from the husband. They have to pay her back from Nisan. And as Taisus points out, at least Lamanda Oma, the Afla Achash Nosad Edom Lagasha, Oichel Pears at Shastin Sina. The husband still has right to eat the pears of the Nichsim Lug, even after he was Nosad Edom Lagasha, as long as he did not yet actually divorce her. Taisus answers, V'imarid Lemakdim Inish Purinus Lanafshe, that certainly we're not Choshish that the husband would not give his get immediately after he writes the get, as a person would not write a get earlier than he wants to actually give a get to his wife, as a person won't be makdim a peronus l'nafshe, hilka chechde salvi usa dafka chashinon, and the only time with chayish that potentially he will delay his get is only with a zureus in the get. However, in a standard case, we're not going to be chayishish, and as Taisil continues, v'hoch yamrinum per kamed gutidin, delay makdim inish peronus l'nafshe, sheikh to loget, kredim sheikh to l'gashra. Taisil continues that even though there are gitin that come in medina siyam, and it takes time between when the get is written and when the get is actually given to his wife, however, gittin abam b'nisyam kol islu, there's always a call on such a get, therefore we don't have to be choshish for a loss to the lekuchais. The Mishnah continues that in a case where a woman wanted to receive her ksuba and she wanted to be paid for her ksuba, and for example she lost her ksuba, then she would give her husband a receipt that she received the money for her ksuba. The Mishnah teaches us v'ashev l'isha, that when writing that receipt for a woman, you could do so afal pisha in b'ayli ima, and even if her husband is not there, as Rashbam states, l'dach chayvu, as l'maisa, this is a detriment to her, l'bayla havischus, and it actually is a schus for her husband, v'zachal adam shalai b'fanav, l'maisa v'hi tzrich li'zor boi shalayav l'dach bayla achit kabel kasek subasa, and she'll be required to make sure that she doesn't lose the shayver, and her husband doesn't find a receipt prior to him paying the amount that she's due for a ksuba, and if she does so, then ihi d'afsen afshaya, and she caused this loss to herself, and therefore there's no problem to write the shayver for this woman. However, the Mishnah qualifies these two dinim and states v'ad shehei makiran, only way the sofer is allowed to write either a get for a man or a shov for an isha is only if he recognizes both the husband and the wife. The Gemara will explain this further. And finally, the Mishnah states v'abal neisen schar, that when writing either a get or writing a shovah, the husband is the one that's responsible to pay for the schar of the sofer and to pay his wages. Rashbam states schar get time of farash b'gemara. The Gemara will explain the reason why a husband is responsible to pay for the sofer's wages when writing a get. The Gemara will explain based on the fact that the pasuk states v'chasa v'nasan. Therefore, we learn that it's the husband's obligation to write the get, and therefore he has to pay for the sofer. Rashbam continues v'schar shevet eshusahu, and the reason why he has to pay for the wages of the sofer when writing a receipt is because it's his benefit. Ayin Teitz Ridu points out v'abal neisen schar pirish hay detoni v'abal neisen schar atavayu koi bein aget bein hashevo v'kashili bishlei maget bal neisen schar mishum dechsev v'chos v'nasan. As we explained, v'shevo amai ha'isha shehi writes a lig v'ksubasa chayevus l'kroya shtak subasa. Really, when a woman wants to be goyva ksuba, she has to rip up her actual ksuba and the mevdasa, and if she loses it, v'hitzrich l'shevo, if she lost a ksuba and she wants to collect the ksuba, then she has to write a shoiva. Therefore, she is the one that needs this receipt, as otherwise she would not be able to collect the ksuba. And if so, he titin eschar, and therefore she should have to give the schar, and she should have to pay for the shoiva. That in Chanami, our Mishnah is talking about a place where it wasn't a minute to write a ksuba. Samchi atnai bezin ubloy ksuba gabya hilkach hashoiva shu chizik lebal habal nesin schar ayin shom. We continue and have kuf samach zayin and beis, and the Mishnah continued kaisin shtal leiva afapish. If a borrower knows that he wants to go and borrow money from someone, and for example, Shimon knows that he wants to borrow money from Reuven, and he wants to make sure that the process is very simple for Reuven, and therefore he wants to pre-write a shtar and go to Reuven and ask for the money, and immediately be able to give him a shtar in order to make sure that Reuven doesn't back out, since by having this shtar in the world, that will be a detriment to Shimon, so then Shimon can actually go to the Sefer and ask the Sefer to write the shtar for him, even though Reuven is not around. As the worst case scenario, Shimon will lose the shtar, Reuven will find the shtar, claim that Shimon owed him this money, and lemaisa ihud afsadan hashay, that by Shimon losing the shtar, he caused this loss to himself. Taisus in Bar Metzia points out that even though at this point Reuven did not lend this money to Shimon, it's mechzik hashikra. However, lemaisa we don't use this svara since it's actually a detriment to Shimon. However, the Mishnah continues ve'in kaisin lemalva ad shei loy ve'imay, but certainly a sefer would not be able to write a shtar or a note to a lender unless the borrower is there, as certainly this is a detriment to the borrower and a benefit to the malva, and there's potential of fraud. In all cases where there's a shtar and a note written for a borrower and a lender, then since this is actually benefiting to the borrower, so therefore the borrower has to pay for the schar of the sefer. And the Mishnah continues that you're able to write a deed for a seller even though the buyer is not there. Once again, this is a benefit for the lekeach and a detriment to the seller, but certainly you can't write a deed for a buyer unless the seller is there, and since the benefit is for the lekeach, therefore the lekeach is the one that has to pay for the schar of the sefer. Mishnah continues in kaisin shtari irisin unisuyin elamidashneim, that you don't write shtari irisin and unisuyin unless you have das of both the chosin and the kala, or the chosin's father and the kala's father, and the chosin or his family has to pay for the wages of the sefer. And Ayin Rashbam, who brings down for the Gemara Maseches Mayakotin that we're talking about Shtari Pesikta, Kirav Gidol, Kamata Nisla Bidcha, Kach Vakach, etc. The Shtar Irisin is like a Shtar Tnayim that discusses the financial terms between the parties. And Rashbam states, Unisuyin is referring to the Ksuba. And Ayin Rashi, Maseches Kedushin, on Daf Kuf Beis and Beis, that Shtar Irisin refers to the Shtar Shem Kaddish Beis Isha, and it says in the Shtar, Hareyat Mekudeshesli, or in a case where a person is being Mekaddish and the husband gives the shtar to his arusa or to her father. And although the Rashbam explained that shtari nesuyin refers to a ksuba, however, Ayin the Rashbu states v'shtari nesuyin nami haynu mashahisne isha l'hachlis shum l'bael v'chei mashahish b'kabalov l'hachlis l'shum b'shloi ashikibalov b'shum mashahichlis l'hi v'lefikuch ein kaisvil el midashdeyem v'ma ein reitzin liyas aleyin kamilu b'shtar. Ma'isin meforshim are bothered by the pshat of the Rashbam that l'chur, if we're talking about a ksuba, then why does it have to be midashneim if l'chayyid only is chayvus in the ksuba is from a husband to his wife, ayin shom? Ma'aseh the Mishnah taught us in kaisin shtar irisin v'nesuyin el midashneim v'achosin neitin schar, and since it can be a chayv for either party, so it has to be done midashneim. But since the chassan is koyin a wife, so the chassan is the one that has to bear the cost of the shtar. Mishnah continues in kaisin shtar risis v'kablonos el midashneim. You can't write a document that discusses the terms or an oris or a kablon unless you have das of both the oris and the kablon as well as the other party. And as Rashbam explains, what's the difference between shtar risis mekabel sadol and mechzel shlishavia, that a sharecropper's deal is that he receives a half or a third or all the crops of the field that he works on, and a kablonis is chakiris kach v'kachkurin l'shana, that Reuven goes to Shimon and says, I'll work your field and I will accept a specific amount of kurin per year. For example, if Reuven agrees to work in Shimon's field and Reuven agrees to take 100 kor, and meanwhile the field produces 1,000 kor, then Shimon still has to give Reuven 100 kor, and if the field produces only 100 kor, then Reuven would receive the entire crop of that year, even though the only way to write the shtar is midashneim, but mekabel neis nischar, but the mice of the benefit is for the oris or the mekabel, therefore he is chayiv and obligated to pay the sofer's wages. Mishnah continues, in kaisvin shtari beruin, v'chol maise bezin el midashneim, that we only write shtari beruin as well as any other maise bezin, both of the parties consent, ushneim neis nischar, both of the litigants pay for the schar of the sofer. Ayin in Rashbam, shtari beruin begemar mefarish, and kol maise bezin kagoyin adrachto, the medina leiva va'ozal apar b'term shichtav. This is referring to a notice of sale, and for example, if the loiva is going to be foreclosed on, and prior to writing a notice of sale, they have to make sure to give notice to the loiva in order to give the loiva opportunity to pay off his debt. And Ayin Rashbam, that when the Mishnah states v'shneim neisen schar, Mishnah is specifically referring to shtari berurin. However, an adrachta is a choyv for a borrower and is of course a benefit for the lender, and therefore it's certainly paid for by the malva. Mishnah continues, Rab Shimon Gamliel states neim kaisvin shnayim, that the two edim actually write two separate documents, zela atzmoi. Each litigant will get their own document, and we will explain this further when we learn the Gemara. Ayin da goyis sabach, as well as in the Rashbam, that they are goyis umam tilele issei the heich umigarish law. And Rashbam explained that this is not only a monetary issue, as miskaven latirili nasi shalikadin, as he is miskaven to give Rachel his get, and this way allow her to marry shalikadin. And Ayin and Mefreshim discuss why the Rashbam explains the Gemara in this manner. Why didn't he say, as he previously stated, that this is a monetary question, as she wants to go and collect her ksuba, and she collect her ksuba shloikedin, and also Ayin entices diba mascha v'leicha shtil mekosvil issa delav dilei umigarish law Ayin shom. The Gemara begins ma'il v'vachei makiran. That was the Mishnah mean when it states v'vachei makiran. And Rabbi Yudam Rav states in the name of Rav v'vachei makas shema ish beged v'shema isha b'sheva, that we have to make sure that the seifa and the edim recognize that this person that came to write this get is actually this person, and this woman that came to write this receipt is actually this woman. As Rashbam explains, she makas shema ish beged ha'seifa v'edim tzricha she'akiyush zeo shmoi the ikal mechish, as otherwise we have to be choishish in get ze el ishachar, as maybe he's coming to write this get for another person, v'yovei l'ramos l'hav v'tzuba l'shem isha, and he will give this get to this woman, but really it didn't come from her husband, and she'll be able to go and be goyva ksuba from her husband. Ketana itziya get ve'ini maksuba goyva ksubasa. Similarly, v'shemi isha b'sheva shalei tirma litna li'ish shagirish ishtai v'tafsa ksubasa yada, as otherwise we have to be choishish, and maybe this lady is not actually Rachel, and she'll go and take this receipt and give it to Rachel's husband. And although Reuven never paid the ksuba, he will have a receipt that he actually paid the ksuba, and of course he'll be able to defraud his wife. Gemara continues, and Eschan Rav, Yosef Rav Safra Rav Acha Bar Huna Rav Huna Bar Chino V'yosef Abayu Gabayu. Rav Safra and Rav Acha Bar Huna and Rav Huna Bar Chino were sitting, and Abayu was sitting with them. V'yosef Yom Kabaylu, it was sitting ahead the following Shaila, that when Rav stated Shema Ish Beget in, it's mashmor that all you need is to know that this is the man that's writing this get, Shema Ishaloi, but you don't have to know the name of his wife, and you don't have to actually ascertain that this is his wife's name, and Shema Isha B'sheva in, and it's also mashmor that all that the Seif and the Edom have to know, this woman who claims that she is Rachel is actually Rachel, and then you're able to write a sheva for her, Shema Ishloi, and even if you don't know that this is actually her husband's name, they ask that if this is true, Lecha Shtil Mekosav Gita, V'ozul Mamtile L'Issa Dehech, that L'Choy, we should have a chash, that although we know that this is actually Reuven, as Taisus points out, it's Huchsik that there's another Reuven Ben Yaakov in the city, and therefore it's possible that this Reuven is actually coming to Bezin. He'll write a get for a woman named Rachel, but really that's not his wife's name, and really it's the other Reuven Ben Yaakov's wife's name, and he'll go and give this get to Rachel, and she'll claim that her husband Reuven gave her this get, and therefore she'll go and collect a ksuba shalei kedin. Ayin da goyis abach, as well as in Rashbam, that they are goyis, umam tilele issei the heich umigarish law, and Rashbam explained that this is not only a monetary issue, as miskaven latirili nasi shalei kedin, as he is miskaven to give Rachel his get, and this way allow her to marry shalei kedin. And ayin and mefreshim discuss why Rashbam explains the Gemara in this manner. Why didn't he say, as he previously stated, that this is a monetary question, as she wants to go and collect a ksuba, and she collect her ksuba shalei kedin? And also, ayin entices the ibn maschel v'leicha shtil mekosvil issa the lab delay umigarish law ayin sham. Lemaisa, we have a similar chash b'negei sheva as zimnan ozla kosva isha sheva v'yavul gaver the lab delay. Potentially, if Rachel comes to a sefer and to edim, we know that her name is Rachel, and she asked them to write a receipt for her, and she says, write a receipt that I received my ksuba from my husband Reuven ben Yaakov. Meanwhile, this Rachel's husband's name is not Reuven ben Yaakov, and there's another Rachel in town whose husband's name is Reuven ben Yaakov, and this Rachel will now go and take the shaver and give it to Reuven ben Yaakov, and Reuven ben Yaakov will be able to claim that he paid his ksuba to his wife Rachel. Gemara states, Amul Abayos, Abay respond to them, Hochi Amarav, the Inachanami, Rav never said this, and Shema Ishbeget, who had in Lashema Isha, that when Rav said that you have to know that this is the man that's writing this get, then certainly you also have to know that this is his wife's name. And similarly, Shema Ish B'Sheva, that although Rav only stated that you have to know that this is Rachel, and she came and she wants to write a receipt regarding Aksuba, but certainly, who had done Shema Ish, you also have to know that this is her husband's name, and otherwise you would not be able to write this get. Similarly, otherwise you would not be able to write this receipt. And I ain't tasted the Diva Maschel, Shema Ish B'Get, who had done Shema Isha, Tema, my Nokot, Shema Ish B'Get, Shema Ish B'Sheva, that L'Chari, if Rav meant to say that you have to actually know the name of the husband as well as the wife, then L'Chari, why did Rav specify that you have to know the name of the husband, B'negei Aget, which could be Mashma, that you don't have to know the name of his wife, and why did Rav state that you have to know the name of his wife, B'negei Sheva, which could be Mashma, that you don't have to know the name of the husband? Taisa's answer is that since Rav is coming to explain the Mishnah, and in our Mishnah we stated Ovad Shehem Akiran, and the Mishnah was specifically talking about a husband, B'negei Aget, as the Mishnah stated, Kaisim Get Le'ish, Afal Pishein Ishti'imai, the Mishnah is specifically talking about a woman, B'negei Sheva, as the Mishnah states, Vashheva Isha, Afal Pishein Bai Le'ima. Therefore, Rav felt what the Mishnah stated, the Lashon Ovad Shehem Akiran, it's going back on the Ish B'negei Aget, and the Isha B'negei Sheva, as Taisa states, V'hu Adin Vadei Shema Acher Mishum Chashash Acheres, Ayin Sham, and Ayin Ramban, who is also bothered with this question, and Ramban states, T'mili, Kivin Da Sikna Shema Ish B'get, V'hu Adin L'Shema Isha, Amay Nokat Shema Ish B'get, V'Shema Isha B'Sheva, the Efshid Ravusa Kamash B'lan, and Ramban explains that potentially there's a Chiddush, that Salk Daita Chai Da Osla Kamon, Loi Mishaka B'Shmodi Dei, Loi Chotzav Kula Hai, Meima Oma Ik Inshi Hocha, De Mishtamud Dlei Kamash B'lan, Rav as well as the Mishnah is teaching us a Chiddush, that even though the husband is the one that came to the Sefer B'negei Aget, the wife came by herself to a Sefer in order to write the Sheva, so you may think that certainly they wouldn't lie. They should be concerned that someone may recognize them and realize that they're lying, and therefore maybe the din would be that you don't have to actually know their names, and maybe you only have to know the other spouse's name. And for example, B'negei Aget, you'd only have to know the wife's name, and B'negei Sheva, you'd only have to know who the husband is. Kamash B'lan, that doesn't make a difference if it's B'negei Aget or B'negei Sheva, the Sefer has to recognize both the husband as well as the wife. The Gemara continues, V'lech l'shal shnei yosef ben shimon adorim be'achas, dil mekosu gita v'ozul mamtile l'issa d'heich. Our Gemara is still bothered that even if you know both the husband and wife's name, but we should still be choshish that there are two husbands in this city that both have the same name, and for example, their name is yosef ben shimon. Both of these yosef ben shimons married a woman whose name was Rachel. L'chir, we should be choshish that potentially yosef ben shimon number one will have a sefer write a get, even if the sefer knows that his name is Yosef ben Shimon and his wife's name is Rachel, but then Yosef ben Shimon number one will go and give this get to Rachel number two, either in order to allow her to collect her ksuba or to allow her to go and get remarried. The Gemara answers, Amul Hu, Rav Acha Bar Huna. This time it wasn't Abaye that responded, but instead Rav Acha Bar Huna was the one that responded. He explained, Hochi Yom Rav, that Rav stated, Shnei Yosef ben Shimon Adorim Be'achas, E Megash Nusheseim El Zeh B'Pnei Zeh, that in a Chanami, if you have a scenario where you know that there are two people in the same town, that their names are Yosef ben Shimon and their wives are the same name, then the only way that they actually will be able to give a get is if both Yosef ben Shimons come to Bezin at the time that they're giving a get, in order to make sure that the proper Yosef ben Shimon is actually writing this get, delivering it to the proper wife, and therefore there is no chash for fraud. L'maisa, it's a bit sarbiyah that l'chayr the Gemara didn't end off and answer all the questions, as l'chayr we should still be concerned that maybe there are two Yosef ben Shimons in this city, both of them are married to Rachel. Rachel goes to a sefer that knows that her husband's name is Yosef ben Shimon and that her name is Rachel, and she has him write a sheva that potentially she can now go and deliver that sheva to the other Yosef ben Shimon that's not her husband. Now that Yosef ben Shimon will be able to claim that he already paid a ksuba, and Rachel number two will lose out b'tzarech biyar. The Gemara continues and asks, Leichesh dilma azel masachrita, that l'chayr we should still be chayshish, maybe in a case where Rachel wants to make sure that she receives a divorce from her husband, so she will send a man to another city, and he'll be machzik that his name is Yosef ben Shimon, even though his name is not really Yosef ben Shimon, and he'll have the seifa and edim write a get for him, for his wife Rachel, and he'll take the get back to the other city, and will give it to Rachel, and Rachel will now claim that she's actually divorced, as the Gemara states, machzik le'lishmei b'Yosef ben Shimon v'kasev gita, u'mamt le'le'isadheich. Gemara answers, amalu Rav Huna bar Chinna. So in this case, Rav Huna bar Chinna was the one that answered the shayla, as hachi amrav, as so said Rav, kol shuchzik shmei b'ir shleishim yoyim, and chayshloi, that the only way for a person to be machzik that his name is Yosef ben Shimon, and they could write a get, is only if he'll be in the city for 30 days, and once he's there for 30 days, and people already know that his name is Yosef ben Shimon, then we're not chayshish that maybe he's lying, as certainly a person would not lie and keep up this farce for such a long time, as the mice is scared of being caught, as potentially someone will come from his original town, and he will tell them that this person's name is not really Yosef ben Shimon. Therefore, in a chinami, if there's a person that's machzik themselves that their name is Yosef ben Shimon, and they're there for 30 days, then he would be able to write a get for his wife, even though his wife is not there, and we don't have to be chayshish for fraud. Gemara continues, lo yischazik mai, that let's say someone is not in a town for 30 days, and he wants to divorce his wife, so what is the etzah? And Amar Baya, the korelev ani, that there's a way to test him, and this is by calling his name suddenly, and if he responds immediately, then we see that this is actually his name, as someone that is making believe that the name is Yosef ben Shimon will not respond very quickly when being called suddenly by that name. Gemara continues, Rav Zvid Omar, however, Zvid argues in Abaya, and he states, Rav Morber and Musay Zarya, that certainly a person that wants to defraud someone, he'll be very careful, certainly he'll prepare for this deception, and therefore he would answer to Yosef ben Shimon, and just by calling him suddenly, that is not a valid test, and therefore in a chinami, if someone moves into a town and it's not yet 30 days, there is no etzah for him to be able to divorce his wife until he's there for 30 days, and he's already chusik that his name is Yosef ben Shimon, and we will stop over here.